Hi everybody, good morning. Welcome back to another episode of the Fetch Pupcast. And this is episode 39, which is a guide to leash reactivity in dogs. Now, leash reactivity tends to be an intense response to a trigger that some dogs have when they're on leash. And this barking and lunging could be at the presence of a dog, a person, a bike, or even a car. So stay tuned into this episode where I'll be going through the causes and also some tips and advice on how to work with this certain training issue. This is the Fetch Pupcast. My name is Damien, and if your dogs are listening, tell me what they think. Hi everyone, morning. Thanks for tuning back into this episode, and I've just actually checked onto the schedule and I haven't recorded an episode in nearly a month. And there's no reason for that. It's just life and work has been hectic. And sometimes I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, what shall I do an episode on this time? And there's all types of topics. So I always say to people, has anybody got any topics they'd like any advice or me to talk about? And one of the most common ones that actually comes up is leash reactivity. And this is one of the biggest training needs that people actually get in touch about. I would say the top three are leash pulling is number one, always number one. Number two is recall. So people say my dog doesn't come back to me on a walk. And number three is leash reactivity in dogs. They say, my dog barks at everything that goes past. And I have to always ask that question and say to people, what do they bark at, first of all? Because it's happened to me more times than not that I've been walking a very calm dog, and then all of a sudden a neighbor pops out with their dog, or a car door slams and the dog rears up, it lunges, it starts barking. And then, you know, as the storm begins, it's hard to kind of calm that dog down. And leash reactivity can be a very difficult thing to work with, but it has to be done with a lot of time and a lot of patience. So it can be scary, I know that, because here at Fetch, we do walk dogs that are leash reactive. And at times, it can actually make you not want to walk your own dog. But believe me, it doesn't have to be that way, because leash reactivity, it can be improved. So with the right tools and the right techniques, you will get there, I promise. And I'm just going to talk and discuss a few things that will help you start up on the right way. I'm about to start an 8-week block with a leash reactivity dog. This dog is absolutely fine off lead with other dogs, loves to play, will run about, completely different dog, but on the lead, even if we see someone coming in the distance, the dog will react. The dog will bark, growl, go up on the hind legs, and basically just go a little bit crazy. So in all these episodes, we always have to think about the theory behind these issues. So the first question we really have to ask here is, what is leash reactivity? People might go, I know what it is. My dog just barks. You know, people might think, Damien, you're asking a stupid question here. But with leash reactivity, there's always two things to remember. And it's rooted in one of two things. It's the two Fs, fear or frustration. Now, frustration boils down to the lead. Because when your dog is on a lead, the lead will actually prevent your dog from saying hello to another dog that they're interested in, or chasing a cyclist down the street. And what happens is your dog will throw a tantrum in the only way they know how to, and that's by barking and lunging. And this behavior probably sounds very familiar to you, because like children, we'll sometimes throw a tantrum or throw a fit when we don't get our way. You know, you'll see that kid in a restaurant or in McDonald's, they don't get their happy meal. So what they do, they start stamping their feet, they start crying, they start screaming. Or think about how frustrated you get when you're actually sitting in traffic. And I know this is me personally. I don't do well when I'm sitting in busy roads. So I try to avoid the rush hour traffic, because what it does, it just makes me frustrated. And even though I don't, but if I started yelling and screaming, that won't make the traffic go away. But I know that it would sometimes just make me feel better just to let out that frustration. So that is frustration. The dog wants to greet, but it can't because it's on the end of the leash. The other F is the fear. And in many ways, this also boils down to the leash. So when a dog is frightened, the primal center of the brain will send a signal to either fight or flight. Okay, so it'll kind of say, right, I'm going to stand my ground and I'm going to fight here, or I'm going to try and run away from it. But when your dog is on a leash, they can't run away because the leash is a barrier to their safety. So what are they going to do instead? Quite obvious, They're going to make a big lunging, barking display to try and let the other dog or the person or the car know that they're frightened. So they can, it's this their way of kind of saying, look, I'm scared here. If I act big and fierce and strong, you might actually go away. And then with something like a car or a bike or even a person, those people may go past. The car goes past at quite a pace. The dog then learns as a learnt behavior, well, my big display of ferociousness here is actually scared that car off. So they don't think in a logical way like that. It's that primal center of the brain that's working. So it kind of gives you an understanding here of leash reactivity. It's fear or frustration. It's one of those two things. And it's really important with your dog to understand your dog's body language, which we'll talk a bit in a second. You know, look at the signals, because dogs communicate through their body language more than anything. So next question we have to think about is, people will ask this a lot, what harness should I use? What lead should I use? What equipment should I use for reactive dogs? Now, if you have a reactive dog, one thing you should never ever use is a choke or a prong collar. Shock collars, retractable leads, nothing like that, because those collars and leads are just dangerous and they're more likely to make the problem worse. So what you need to do, you need to walk your dog with a comfortable harness or a regular 5 foot nylon or leather lead. Just go back to the basics. Some people say, I've got this harness, I've got this collar, I've got this and this. And I say, let's just go back to the basics. We don't have to worry about a harness. Collar and a lead would be fine. So the best, if you're thinking about a harness, the best body harness for a reactive dog is the one that clips at the chest instead of the spine. Because if they're clipped in at the chest, it's so much easier to direct the dog away from the trigger when they're attached at the front rather than the back, because they have far more strength and leverage when the harness connects at the back, because the dog's engine is in the back legs. So if they're wearing their harness, they're going to be able to pull through it. So head halters like Halties, they're also quite good options for working with reactive dogs. You can also do a makeshift figure of eight using a slip lead as well, but you can get comfortable Halties. There's also another good head collar called a Dogmatic head collar. And what they do is, these don't cause your dog any pain or prevent them from holding a ball or drinking water. Because most dogs don't like wearing things on their faces. So what you may have to do is just start desensitizing your dog to this type of head halter before you start using it. Then we have to think about, moving on, what is your dog's trigger? That is the most important thing, because to every reaction, there is always a stimulus. There's always some form of trigger. So we have the best shot at helping the dog overcome leash reactivity if you can begin counter conditioning and desensitizing them to the triggers. But you need to find out this technique first. So two questions you need to ask is, what is the trigger? And number two, how far away is the trigger when my dog reacts? And that is the first question I would ask before I go and do any training session. Tell me what they bark at and how far away are you? Now, for every dog, there'll always be what we call a threshold distance. And this acts like an imaginary invisible line that marks out when your dog begins to react. And in the beginning, this might be 50 feet, 100 feet, or even a whole block of houses away. And when they're on the safe side of their imaginary line, your dog should be able to look at that trigger without a reaction. Okay, so you need to be working at that imaginary line to start with. Now, once you've determined your dog's threshold and you know where that imaginary line is, this is where you need to begin decreasing that distance through desensitization and counter conditioning. Now, since sometimes I'm making this sound really, really easy here, but sometimes you might not know whether a trigger might be coming around the corner on the street. So what you need to do is set this up for success to start with, and start in an environment that's more predictable, where you can actually control and see what is going on. Because if you're walking around very tiny little village roads and you can't see what's going around the corner and the corner is very tight, you're kind of setting yourself up for low success in this aspect. So a good example would be if you choose a bench in a park that overlooks a dog play area, or a spot across the street from maybe a skateboard park. And your goal here, very simple, is just to keep your pup in what they call the safe zone. And it stops them from having a reaction. And when you're in your safe zone with your dog, this is where you can begin your counter conditioning and desensitizing themselves. Now, to change your dog's emotional response to the trigger from one of frustration or fear to one of pleasant feelings, this is where you've got to teach your dog to associate their trigger with something positive. And the easiest good thing to make happen on cue, easy, is to shower your pup with lots of amazing treats. If they like treats, that is. It might be a ball. It might be a favorite toy. And it's crucial that you use high value rewards, something extra special. And this is something your dog doesn't typically get to eat on a day-to-day basis. So this might be a bit of chicken, cheese, or tiny bit of party sausages, very, very small parts. And don't use this reward any other time. Only use it when you're doing your counter conditioning training. So that way, the value of this treat stays high. It's unique. The dog's going to go, wait a minute, I don't get that very often. This is actually what I want to work towards. Now, you're sitting in your safe zone. You've armed your hand with ammunition of, let's say, for example, we've got cheese. Every time your dog sees the trigger, mark that moment with your voice and the word yes. That's the best type of marker, I'd say, is say yes. You may want to use a clicker. And then when you say yes, pop a treat in your dog's mouth. If they turn back to the trigger or they continue to look at it without interruption, continue to mark and reward at a rapid rate. So think of yourself like a fruit machine paying out pound coins when someone wins a jackpot, but your coins are cheese. They may look twice and get two food rewards, or they may look 20 times and get 20 rewards. If you're using cheese, for example, in this scenario, just use tiny bits of grated cheese. Don't use slices, because if you imagine if you gave your dog 20 slices of cheese, number one, they're probably going to get very fat. And the important part is that you need to keep those treats coming as long as the trigger is visible. Now, once the trigger is moved out of your dog's sight, stop delivering treats. And you need to repeat this for every dog, skateboard, human, whatever that comes into your dog's sight. Now, once your dog begins looking back at you automatically when they see their trigger, you're ready to move slightly closer. But keep in mind that if your dog reacts, you've moved too close quickly. Now, this is a really key moment, as I've just said, that let's say, for example, the trigger is a skateboard. If you're in your safe zone and you've been counter conditioning at safe distance, they see the skateboard, then they look back at you first. That is the magic moment. That is your final exam to say, right, we can start moving closer, because your dog is making an association here. They're looking at you and kind of going, okay, I've seen the skateboard. Can I get something for that? That's the key to success. Now, how long it takes for your dog to respond in that way just varies. But your dog is more likely to improve quickly if you can prevent them from reacting to the trigger, not just during training times, but any time they are out on a walk or at the park. Because the more you can control, and that's the key word, you have to control your dog's over threshold, which is the reactivity, the more they'll feel confident and calm when it's present. So that's really, really important. Counter conditioning. Now, you can train alternate behaviors as well. So whilst you're working on counter conditioning, you can begin training them to do something besides barking and lunging as a trigger passes by. Because ideally, we want a reactive dog to do something incompatible with barking and lunging. For example, if your dog is watching you or looking at you or focus, they can't simultaneously bark or lunge at the trigger because they're only doing one thing at a time. And there's several different behaviors you can use as incompatible alternate behaviors. And the key, however, is that the dog begins the behavior before the trigger moves close and gets into their threshold. Because if your dog's already begun to react, it's unlikely you'll be able to get them to focus on a different behavior. So, for example, let's talk about some alternate behaviors. One could be find it. And this isn't so much a trained behavior, it's a fun game. Because the idea between this one is to draw your dog's focus away from the direction of the trigger. So you're in your safe zone. They see the trigger in the distance. They're not reacting. You then say, find it, in a really positive tone of voice, and throw something like a bowling, like you'd throw a bowling ball, right in front of your dog on the grass. So don't feed them from the hand. Just put it on the grass. Throw it just in front so they can sniff it and gobble it up as you're walking or sitting there. And just repeat the find it at a rapid pace. So again, remember, fruit machine, distribute the cheese, throw the cheese out. So find it is a good one because it actually gets them to use their nose. You could also say watch or look. So what you could do is when they see that trigger in the distance, ask your dog to watch and then lift your index finger to your nose. And when they look at you, mark the moment with yes and just repeat this constantly again. The key is to do it quickly, remember. Another one is touch. Teach your dog to target. Put an outstretched hand with their nose. And if their nose goes towards your hand like a magnet, then you reward them for it. And again, touch, touch, touch. Do it at different levels, different heights. And I'm sure that the dog will quickly do it. So these are called alternate behaviors. You're basically saying to your dog, right, snap out of that. Do this instead. Focus on this. Let's play a little game here. Now, sometimes you might think, okay, well, no matter how much you've trained, there'll still be times when the dog's trigger catches you both off guard and you need to have a plan to how to get out of dodge very quickly. And, you know, you need to have a method of how to get your dog away from the trigger safely and easily. So one of them is the emergency U-turn. So teaching your dog to stay at your side whilst you quickly change direction is one of your best defenses against the unexpected appearances of dogs. So what you do is walk forward with your dog on a short lead and then suddenly just turn 180 degrees and say, let's go, in a cheerful voice. Immediately after turning, reward your dog with a treat and then do it again. Let's go, turn quickly. So you're literally just doing 180s. That's your emergency U-turn. And use your U-turn whether your dog has begun reacting or not. Because if they haven't reacted and they're able to turn with you, reward them heavy as you turn in the opposite direction. And if they did react, don't worry. It's okay because you're not going to get it right every time. Just continue walking away without a reward. And also the last one you could use is a visual barrier, because sometimes the easiest thing to do when you're surprised by a trigger is to put a visual barrier in between you and your dog. If your dog can't see the trigger, they're far less likely to react to it, even if they know it's there. And the best barriers are large solid items such as parked cars, might be a wall or a fence, and step in front of your dog and use your own body language as a visual barrier is unlikely to work very well because they're just going to try and look around your body because your body is obviously quite narrow in comparison to a car or a fence. So if you're using a visual barrier like a car, just go around the side of the car, tell a look, tell a touch, tell a find it, and see if you can do it from there. But the bottom line is, improving leash reactivity, it's a process. It won't happen overnight. But with some of the tips that I've just discussed at your disposal, you've got a really, really good shot at making you and your dog more relaxed and confident on a walk. So there's a few tips in there for you to take in. Again, the most important thing is those two questions. What is the trigger and what is the safe distance from that trigger that my dog doesn't react? You need to work on the counting conditioning and desensitization. So with this 8-week block I'm about to do of this leash reactive dog, our first walk will be, we're going to go for a walk. We're just going to walk around and I'm going to get an idea of what these triggers are. And I need to work out the distance that this dog actually feels comfortable. I need to find out what is the motivation of the dog. You know, what is going to be the treat that gets that dog to focus on me? It could be food. It could be a ball. It could just be touch. It could just be my voice. I don't know. So you need to do your homework and set that up first. But it is one of the most common training needs that I work with. If you live in Norwich and you need some help with leash reactivity, please feel free to get in touch. I can come and do a one-off session with you if needs be, or I can do a block of sessions to give you the tips and advice to take forwards. But remember, it's you, the owner, that would be the person putting in the work. I'm here to give you the skills, the techniques, and set you the work to take the relationship with you and your dog forwards. But hopefully you've gained some tips from that. If you'd like to review or rate the podcast, you can do that on Spotify. You can also leave us reviews on Google, Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. And we also have a website, which is www.fetchdogwalkinglimited.com. But yeah, very, very brief episode there. All dogs are different. They do react in different ways, but hopefully with your leadership and your patience and your guidance, your dogs will get there in no time. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. This is the Fetch Pupcast. My name is Damien. If your dogs were listening, tell me what they think.